today until day one of our first multi-generational trip to Saltillo, Mexico. About 3.5 hours down here, another hour and a half in the car, and we arrived. The entire congregation was waiting for us with a huge dinner meal. So we've got to meet many people from the church and sit and break bread together. So it was a beautiful evening. I'm just so honored to have a front row seat to see what God's doing this week in the lives of my brothers and sisters from Covenant Grove and here in Saltillo, Mexico.
Today we're at the hospital and we were going inside. We were handing, you know, out waters. We prepared about 40 sandwiches to hand out here. We were praying for people. We saw a lot of people who were hurting, and we saw a lot of people who were there with their families. And I'm just so glad we're here, because there's a lot of work to be done in our own selves, in the community.
There was a family, a couple, who drove 7 hours to bring their friends from their congregation to the hospital. 7 hours. And they stayed and were just waiting. And I just thought that was incredible. And God was just in that moment with them, and the way that he and she, that couple, loved on that family.
We went in and we visited patients in the ER. I gotta tell you, I was super overwhelmed. Wasn't quite sure what we were going to be able to do. And very quickly, the patients and the family members, you know, they accepted our prayer, and I was just at calm and peace.
It was really interesting for me to see how people live, because, you know, Jesus is everywhere, and I felt like whenever we were walking on those streets, and then you really see some homes that are, they're like holding on together by dear life. Like, it's not like the States, you know, it's really not like that, but there's just so much joy from those children. And then we were handing out candy and little flyers and like balloons, so it meant so much to them. We had a cultural exchange, and there was a lot of worship. There was a lot of conversating with the people that we met. And in that moment, I was able to really experience the Holy Spirit for the first time. That was very, very, very meaningful to me. That and the kids. I love the kids.
One thing that really stuck with me this week and that really impacted me was just hearing worship in different languages, hearing the Spanish and the English of the song, The Blessing. I just loved seeing that, and it felt like a little picture of heaven on earth.
One God moment I had this week was encountering a friend, Marcos. I met Marcos the first night that we got here. I could tell that we get along pretty well. And then Thursday night, last night here, I sat down with Marcos, and we pretty much shared parts of our testimony together. And it was really cool being able to hear about some of the things that he's been through and how God has rescued him from those things, and getting to know his family and seeing the similarities that we have through worshiping the Lord through music. Yeah, it was just super encouraging being able to hear that part of his testimony, being able to share mine.
This week was filled with God moments for me that revolved around women. Women that brought healing to my life, women that needed encouragement to follow God's call, and just a reaffirming of my purpose as a woman in God's kingdom.
One of the things that I felt was a God moment was when we walked into the church, the calendar of events, and on that calendar, there was Habakkuk 2:3. And I felt like that resonated with me, because our church, one of our verses that we prayed on when we were moving and doing the building campaign was Habakkuk 1:5. And they're both very, very similar about being patient, but also in the works of God. And it was amazing that church was living into God's mission and vision for them.
Thank you for watching that video and just seeing a glimpse, a five-minute glimpse into a week of what we were able to experience. So let us start in prayer. Join me, church. Lord, let the words that are spoken today be for your glory and for your glory alone. Holy Spirit, we lean into your prompting today. We're available for your work in our hearts. Amen. Good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Sarah Benavides, and I have the privilege of serving as a missions coordinator here at Covenant Grove. So last weekend, 10 of our members from this church came back from Saltillo, Mexico, and we're going to hear a little bit about what happened in Mexico, along with what God has really been tumbling in the rock tumbler of my mind, honestly, my entire life. So, but we're going to consolidate that down. I'm sending that to voicemail. Sorry about that. Hey, good reminder. Please go ahead and silence your phones. You know what? Because I get distracted. Yeah, I get distracted. So, yeah, silence your phones right now if you haven't. But honestly, this leads me to a question. How many times have we had a caller ID? No caller ID. We send it to voicemail. Only later to discover that it was really an important call that maybe we should have taken. Maybe a doctor's office. Maybe a work call, a family member in crisis. And then I started thinking, how many times have we done that to God? Has he been calling us and we say, sorry, not available because I'm busy right now, God? Or maybe it's, I don't know exactly what you have for me, but I'm not quite there. So that is a bit of what I want us to wrestle with today. Because something that I know for me is I love knowing the plan. I love calendars. Like, I don't know if anybody else is like this, but I like paper calendars, digital calendars, color-coded calendars. It doesn't matter. I like to know what's coming next. I used to joke around and say, you know, if I could sit down and plan my entire life in my calendar, I probably would. But here's what I've discovered. God doesn't work like that. He has not said to me yet, Sarah, here is your five-year plan for your life. But instead, what he keeps telling me is, are you available? He's calling me and saying, are you willing to take one step at a time? Because that is the faithfulness that God has been calling us to do. That is the faithfulness that we saw among these 10 members of our congregation last week. One willingness to say, yes, God, we'll follow you in the unknown. So I don't know, maybe that's just me. But today, I'm going to put on my glasses because age is catching up with me. And I want us to think about a few things. Are you available? Here's the question I want us to kind of grapple with this morning. What would it look like in your life if your answer was to God's call, yes, without any hesitation? Because we're going to first jump into the story of Elisha in 1 Kings 19. I have to articulate it like that because we've got Elijah, Elisha, and if I don't say it Elisha, then we're going to get mixed up. So we're going to open our Bibles today to 1 Kings 19, and then we're going to pull that all the way through to a thread with Jesus' final words before his ascension into heaven, which is often called the Great Commission. All right, so before we begin reading our passage, I want to give you a little context. Oftentimes, we look at the Old Testament because it gives us insight into the story of followers of Jesus. And it helps us to kind of see this thread all the way through to what he is doing in our lives, okay? And in the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha were two of 35 named men and 5 named women, specifically who were called prophets or prophetesses, okay? And what we will see is that our God, Yahweh, is the same. He does not change from the Old Testament to today. He is the same God of Elisha and the same God of today, okay? And what he is looking for is people who are willing. So I want to invite you, grab your Bible. If you don't already have it out, there's one in the chair in front of you. We're going to turn to 1 Kings. It's right about here in the Bible towards the front. And we are going to read the word of the Lord. I'm reading through the NIV. Please follow along. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." "Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen. He slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and give it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his attendant. Praise God. You know what we have here? God calling ordinary people. Here's an image I found of, this isn't really the real image, right? Because they didn't have this kind of technology then, but it's a great representation of what we might have seen. God calling ordinary people to extraordinary work. We're not talking about perfect people, people who have all the answers. Absolutely not. He's calling ordinary people. And here we see Elijah, an individual who gave an all-in yes, right? An all-in yes. So let's start by stepping into verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha. This is powerful because the illustration is this. Elisha wasn't looking for God specifically for a new assignment, but God found Elisha in the ordinary work of his day. He was just there plowing his field, going around a normal day, doing what he did every other day. Now, we're told he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Don't imagine a poor farmer just barely scraping by. He had wealth. He had security. Okay, by the standards of this time, he was doing great. And so what we see is that God interrupted this very typical day for him. And we see this throughout Scripture, right? Like two examples I thought of was David was out in the fields looking at sheep. He was taking care of the sheep. And what did God do? He interrupted him, right? The fishermen were casting their nets. What did Jesus do? He interrupted them. He interrupted them. So that makes me wonder, does he still interrupt us today? Teachers in the classroom, parents changing diapers, accountants, police officers, people working in an ice cream shop. Is he interrupting us? Retirees, business owners. Church, I believe he is. I believe he is answering us, and he has a call for you. He says, follow me. Not do you understand, right? That's not what he's asking. He's not telling you, here's everything. But he's saying, will you follow me? So I love this. God calls ordinary people to extraordinary work. It's our availability that has always mattered more than our ability. Because I don't know about you, but I don't have it all together. So, church, that is the question. Not, God, do you have a calling for my life? Because if you say that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, he has a calling for your life. You know, mic drop. Like, we know this. He's got it. But I want our question to be, Lord, if you are calling me today, would my answer already be yes before I know what's going on? So here's the problem. I might say, yes, Lord, I'm available. I surrender, right? I love the song. It brought me to tears today. But often just saying, yes, I'm available is not what it really costs, right? It's actually the going, the doing. We saw people surrender their time, surrender their money the week before in Mexico. They surrendered vacation days. It cost something. But God was there in the blessing, and it was more of a pleasure to serve him than we could have ever imagined. So verse 20 says something great. We We are back to, so verse 20 says, he ran after Elijah. So we see Elisha and he is running. He is running after Elijah. And I wonder what the question here is, would we give everything to run after our call? I don't know. That is our question today. You know, I don't know what we're looking to burn today. This plow. I want to talk about the plow that that Elisha burned. So the plow itself was used as a sacrifice to God. The plow itself and the oxen were slaughtered. They were not sinful, okay? These things were not sinful. They were simply something that Elisha knew that could be in the way of fully saying yes to God. Let me say that again. So the plow, the oxen, he took those, he slaughtered them. He said, no plan B. I'm going to turn and completely follow the Lord. I don't know what our plows are. Our plows could be addictions. It could be alcohol, drugs, pornography. It could be endless scrolling on your phone. It doesn't necessarily have to be something bad. It could also be approval of other people. It could be a dream. It could be a reputation we want to keep. I don't know what your plow is, but I believe today that God is telling us that we need to let whatever we are holding on to go so we can fully surrender and say, God, I will follow you at all costs. So I've had to burn a lot of plows in my life. A lot. Yeah, same, right? And here's one that I've been working on my whole life, okay? It's been almost 50 years, it feels like. But I was called at a very young age in a church pew. And I knew what the calling was. I knew what the calling was when I was little. It was affirmed in junior high on a missions trip. It was affirmed in high school on other ministry trips. It was affirmed in college over and over again. I felt the prompting of God. But you know what I did? It's kind of embarrassing. But I said, yes, God, but let me hold on to this plow. I kept doing this over and over again. And the plow was the approval of other people. Because to me, it mattered more what other people thought than what God was calling me to do. I knew the call. He was clear, and I would kind of stretch it out like this, it felt like, but still I had a hand on the plow. I wanted the approval of other people more than I was willing to say, yes, Lord, I will do whatever you ask me to do. It had a grip on my heart. And finally, one day, I literally had to say, God, whatever it costs, I will follow you. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. A lot of things were really painful. But I will tell you that the joy of serving the Lord, the joy of saying, yes, God, I am available. It is my joy to honor you. It is my pleasure and my delight to say yes to you, God, is far more than holding on to the plow. And I was able to let go. So, again, I don't know what your plow is today, but I want to encourage you, just like Elisha, to burn whatever is keeping you from the Lord. So, I believe that every believer has been called, right? And whatever issue that we have that is having a stronger hold in our heart than Jesus, I want to ask you, would you be willing to say yes to the Lord? Whatever is holding onto your heart that is keeping you from a full dedication to God, would you be willing to say yes to the Lord? Because every believer has been called. The story of Elisha points to the very end of Jesus' time here on earth, to a bigger story, right? So we come to Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and Jesus has already walked among the disciples. He's already gone to the cross. He's already conquered death and risen again. And these are his final words before he ascends to heaven. Okay? I would like to invite Michelle up to come and read this to us. And I don't want you to miss this. Yes, come on, Michelle. Oh, I do. I have this printed for you. All right. Do you have a mic?
Testing. All right. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Amen. Thank you. So don't miss this. This was Jesus' final words. And if this is what Jesus is about, then I think we better be about it too, right? If that is what he is about, if this is the final thing he said before heading to heaven to be with his Father, the last instructions to his disciples, to his church, that is us. I think we better be about what Jesus is about. So we start out by seeing that Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." Everything rests on that statement. Jesus isn't merely claiming power. He is claiming his rightful authority as king. And that is why the mission doesn't start with our ability. It has nothing to do with us. It has to do with his authority. We don't go and serve because we're enough. We go because we have the power of Jesus, right? Amen. So here's something fascinating as I dug a little deeper. As we know, every believer has been called. Now, in the English, I used to think that it sounded like Jesus gave us four commandments. I thought it sounded like he said, "Go," and then he said, "Make disciples," and then he said, "Baptize," which there's about, you know, if anyone needs to be baptized, 1 o'clock today, baptize, and then teach. But in the original Greek, there is only one central command. And it is this. Mathutuose. There it is. That is the word, because it was blacked out. And all that this means is make disciples. It's an active command. Okay? It's an active command that means y'all better do this now. That's pretty much what it means. It means you all do this now. Jesus is telling us, do this. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Do it now. And everything else supports that one command. As you are going, make disciples. By baptizing, make disciples. By teaching, make disciples. He's inviting us to help people become lifelong followers of Christ. That is what the Great Commission is about. That's it. So, are we going to listen? Jesus tells us we're to make disciples of all nations. That doesn't mean a political area. It means all people, all races, all languages, all cultures, everybody. Everybody. Last week in Mexico, we were at a market. So if you imagine this market, it was like farmer's market meets flea market meets yard sale, all kind of wrapped into one location. And you saw part of it in the video. People were giving testimonies. We were singing the blessing. And there was a loudspeaker, and the pastor was preaching. And I was talking to someone, and my son Ty said, "Mom, there's a lady that just came in over here." Immediately, I knew the Holy Spirit was saying, "Go." And I did. I grabbed the translator and walked over. She finished listening to the pastor preach. And then, oops, I need to go back. She listened to the pastor finish preaching. And then when she stopped, I simply asked, "Can I pray for you?" She said yes. Now, I have to tell you, I don't even remember what I said. But I did pray ahead of time, "God, I don't know this woman, but let your words speak through me. Let me be a mouthpiece for what you have to say, because I don't know her." And I did. I prayed. It felt like I was praying for a really long time. But I just kept going until I thought I needed to be done. And she had her head covered in this little towel. And as I was praying, she continued to cry harder and harder and harder. And I finished with an amen. And then she looked at me. And she said, "Thank you. Can I tell you my story?" Of course I said, "Yes." She said, "Not long ago, my son was outside. He was about 20 years old. And he was hanging out with a friend who happened to be playing with a gun. The gun went off, and he died. Our family was devastated. Less than a week later, my husband was so distraught over the loss of our son, his heart gave out, and he also passed. In less than a week, I lost my husband, and I lost my son, and my daughter and I are at home. And I heard the worship, and I heard the testimony from my house today, and I knew I needed to walk out." She said, "I know Jesus. I've gone to church. But this has felt like more than I can bear. I don't think I can do this anymore." So we encouraged her even further. And I tell you this story not because I knew what to say, but because I was available, and I knew that it was Jesus who was there and the Holy Spirit to speak to her. I was available to be the mouthpiece that God had for this woman. Our whole team was available to give their testimony, to pray with people, to sing the blessing. And that, church, is what God is asking us to do. That is it. You know, as we were in Saltillo, I had the privilege of really seeing the Great Commission walked out. Our team was full of ordinary people, right? Teachers, retirees, just average people who said yes. We didn't have all the answers. We were scared. Some of us didn't speak any Spanish. Some of us had fears of flying. But still, we answered the call that God had been pushing into us, and we said, "Yes, Lord, we're available. We don't know what it looks like. We don't feel prepared. We don't know all of what's going to happen, but we are willing to say yes." So I want to encourage us this morning. Are we all in for Jesus? Are we all in for Jesus? I want to invite Michaela up to share a poem that she wrote while in Mexico that really encapsulates the beauty of our time there.
Good morning, everybody. So when I wrote this poem when I was in Mexico, and I was reflecting on kind of some of the frustrations initially of the language barrier, not feeling like it was very easy to connect with people because of that. And God was continually reminding me that even though we had a language barrier, there was not a love barrier, and that we could show love through our actions towards the people in Saltillo. And so this was kind of the result of reflecting on that. You don't need spoken language to see someone. If attention is the currency of love, it is spent beyond compliments or encouragement. It's in crinkled eyes and a warm handshake. It's in recognizing when a child needs help peeling a sticker or tying a bracelet. You also don't need translations to listen. Hearing is handing a shivering woman a jacket. It's placing a balloon in the hands of a forlorn child. Love is a silent prayer lived out after amen.
Thank you. I mean, amazing. It really was amazing. Thank you for sharing that. That brought tears to so many people, understandably. Here's what I want us to take home today. Because Jesus gave himself for us completely, we can surrender everything to follow him without looking back. My question to you today is, are you available? Will you say, "Yes, Lord, it's my joy and it is my honor to follow you"? Because the invitation is for all of us. I don't know what your plow is, but the Holy Spirit does. He knows what you need to let go of. And if he has his finger on your heart today, please don't ignore his voice. Some of you have followed the Lord for decades. but along the way, you maybe have picked up part of that yoke. So today is an invitation to say, God, I'm going to leave it behind, and I'm going to follow you, whatever the cost. And if you don't know the Lord, today is also an invitation to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Today is the day I want to say, I am all in for you. It's not about guilt. It is about saying, yes, it is my joy and it is my honor to serve you and to follow you. Not because we earned it, but because he loves us more than we can imagine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example of Elisha, who was willing to leave everything behind for your call. Most of all, thank you for Jesus, who gave everything so that we could know you and we could have new life through him. Lord, if there's a plow that we're holding on to, God, give us the courage today to surrender it to you. Help us to trust you one step at a time, even when we don't know where you're leading. God, renew our hearts and our willingness to say, yes, Lord, whatever you ask, wherever you lead. Thank you for the opportunity to serve in Mexico. May we leave this place today committed to making disciples, loving people well, and following you without looking back. I ask all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Wow. Thank you for joining us this morning to hear about our Mexico ministry trip. Actually, I want to invite you to take a seat for the next 2 minutes really quickly. So Erin has something incredible that I want her to share from this last week.
So this also is a poem that I wrote, kind of a culmination over before we left, in the middle, and when I got home, just a reflection of how God works. And anyway, I'll just share this with you. On my way to Mexico, feeling lots of different things, you've asked me for an open heart, and that is what I'll bring. God, you know I do not fly, and I'll miss my family so, but I will be obedient because you told me go. Unsure how you will use me, Lord, I am underqualified, but when you call and I submit, you always will provide. Give me strength and guidance in what to do and say, and most of all, please help me keep myself out of the way. I don't want expectations. This is your work and not my own. To see your glory all around and the seeds that will be sown. The welcome here has been so warm, they couldn't wait to see. Partners are we to serve and love an extended family. Connections made so quickly and conversations from the start. It has been a beautiful sound that continues to touch my heart. The barriers are broken when worship fills the air. The language gap has disappeared with laughter and with prayer. No borders blocking friendships, special memories being made, all because of Jesus and the precious price he paid. How I give you all the praise, Lord, this renewal in my soul. It's amazing what you do when your spirit takes control. The delight of true surrender, the joy of being free, the miracles that happen when I just let go of me. So thank you, God, for saying, Erin, you need to go. You do not need to be afraid. My peace will overflow. In my presence, there are no limits, no boundaries I can't climb. So love as I have loved you, for love wins every time. Psalm 27:13 says, yet I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. And this was a verse that I reflected on several times while being with the families from church. Because we live in such a fallen world with so much heartache and pain, God was showing me through that week his amazing goodness and power that I felt all week as the Spirit moved through his children in love and service.
Amen. That was amazing. Oh my gosh. Thank you. And so I'm excited to share with you the final benediction from Pastor Ricardo, who led our church in Saltillo. So here are the words of Pastor Ricardo.
Bueno, hermanos, Dios los bendiga. Que la paz de Dios sea con cada uno de ustedes. Y que Dios les bendiga en este inicio de semana. Y que toda la semana esté llena de bendición y que cada día podamos reflejar a Cristo. Bendiciones, saludos unos a otros.